T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Volume up, volume down. Let's talk a little bit about, let's start with the, Hugh, we're going to pick the games in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes from now. But let's begin with kind of looking at both of these games. Let's start with the AFC. Now, we got Titans fans that are in their feelings this morning because we apparently dissed them by not giving them enough credit or I don't know what.
Dude, can I just, for a brief moment, had a four. It's not our job to give you credit. That's not what we're here to do. It's our job is to analyze stuff. Analysis. It's not to give you like to make you feel better about your football team or your soccer team or any other sports team that you follow. That's not what we're here to do. We're getting paid to kind of like, you know, tell you what we think is going to happen. We don't know. None of us know.
No, I mean,
none of us know.
Look, there's been no more impressive team in the playoffs, no more impressive coach in the playoffs. No more impressive player in the playoffs than the Titans, Vrabel, and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, no question about that. And what you've done up until this point has been phenomenal. And I think that we've done a great job of articulating all of that. We have. We talked about Derrick Henry and how, you know, important he is to this offense. And we talked about how Steele's daddy, Ryan Tannehill, is probably going to have to make some plays this weekend, which we feel confident that if they keep the game manageable, that they could do. I don't know what else you want us to tell you. Do you want us to say, will it make you feel better if we tell you the Titans are going to win? We can tell you that, but we don't know for sure, so it doesn't matter. So, you know, get out your feelings.
Derrick Henry talking about the game this week, talking about how they believe in each other up in Nashville.
I think us is, you know, believing in each other on all three phases. You know, when we're out there competing, getting better, you know, keeping emphasis on what we need to do as a team. And I think that's what we've been doing collectively together.
Running backs have short shelf lives in the NFL, right? I mean, the average running back is 3.5 years. And that's if you're lucky to get – that's talking about good running backs because they get dinged up. And look at the great running backs that are currently in the NFL who are trying to either resuscitate their greatness or to, either through injury or just age and trying to get back to where they were at their pinnacle, the Le'Veon Bells, the Todd Gurley's. Right now, Ezekiel Elliott probably thought of as the best running back in the NFL right there with Saquon Barkley. But – I'm going to sit here and tell you that I think, given the recent play, has Derrick Henry passed Barkley and Elliott and Gurley, is he considered, Hugh, right now, the best running back in the NFL?
This season, yes. You look at what he's been able to do and the way that he's put this team on his back, the way that he has these last two playoff games, yes. I mean, that's not a far stretch to say that.
And Tennessee goes in to face Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid, we talked about this earlier with Hugh. Of course, Hugh played for Andy Reid. You may recall the Super Bowl that Hugh played in, the Super Bowl against the Patriots and Tom Brady. Really one of the five or six best Super Bowls of all time, in my opinion, in terms of the quality of the game. Granted, the Eagles didn't win, so it's a lack of quality on your part there, Hugh. Deion Branch having the game of his life, but Terrell Owens was just phenomenal in that game.
He was a beast.
And you guys were really good trying to corral that Brady team. Great game. And Andy Reid's been close and close and close. And here he is again, Patrick Mahomes talking about his head coach wanting to get that Super Bowl ring.
It'd be amazing, obviously. I mean, the work and that he's put in every single day, every single where he's been at, I mean, he's had success. And so, obviously, we want to get him that Super Bowl, but we understand it's a process. We understand that, first off, we gotta come in, have a great practice today, and then play great this weekend, and then try to give ourselves a chance to be in that game and get a chance to get him that trophy.
And there's a title you don't want to have in sports. You don't want to be, Ricky Fowler, Hugh, because Ricky Fowler owns the title right now. Best player never to win a major, right? Is Andy Reid the best coach not to win a Super Bowl? Active.
Yeah. I would say probably.
Yeah.
And you know what is unfortunate is that that's the way that we, categorize people. The best coach that ain't won one yet, Coach Reid. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah. You talk about, and I think Tanisha pulled the stat because I forgot, they went in 2008, they went to the NFC Championship game with the Eagles. Forgot who it was against, and she told me, but this will be his seventh championship appearance, you know, from NFC and AFC. Second here in Kansas City, and like did it five times in Philadelphia. So that's pretty impressive. You know, when you talk about a guy who I've said on this radio station more than once that he was not the Eagles' first choice. I know that for a fact. Like over the years, just talking to different people that were affiliated with that situation when it was going down, he was not the first choice. He kind of got the job because somebody else was a little bit overzealous and they were, you know, making too many phone calls. So for him to come in the way that he did, to turn a program like the Philadelphia Eagles around like he did, get them to those five NFC championship games, you know, get to one Super Bowl, and now to have Kansas City Chiefs going to back-to-back AFC championship games, that's pretty impressive. Got to get over the hump, though.
Let's talk about the job that he did this year. Yeah, lost his quarterback for a couple of games. They were dealing with a lot, obviously, with Kareem Hunt, who they cut, and Tyreek Hill, who they sort of did. And, you know, all the off-field antics of those guys and two of their key weapons. And they were counting on Mecole Hardman to come in and do, to replace Tyreek Hill. And, boy, did Mecole turn out to be a find of a pick for them. Not that we didn't know that he had, you know, big playability when he was at Georgia. But, boy, he's gone kind of next level, in my opinion, with the Kansas City Chiefs and some of the big key plays that he plays. Right now, Hugh, and this is, again, Tennessee has been, I just said, so you Titans fans, just relax. Best team, best coach, best player in the playoffs, Tennessee Titans. Win at New England and beat the defending powerhouse Super Bowl champions and all that kind of stuff, and maybe, who knows, end the run of the Patriots, go and beat the number one seed in their place and keep Lamar Jackson, while he's running all over the field, out of the end zone for the most part. And just nobody else would have done that in the NFL. Props to you. But having said that, are the Kansas City Chiefs at the moment, Hugh, the favorites not to just to win this game, but the favorites to win the Super Bowl, given the fact that Pat Mahomes, in those last three quarters of that previous game, suddenly it all clicked and they were back to being the Kansas City Chiefs?
I would think that, yeah, a lot of people are feeling that. You talk about last year's game against the Patriots. They're one offsides away.
Dean Ford.
Man. They're one offsides away from going to the championship. Man, and I know that had the sting, but now they're back. I know for a lot of those players, and probably Patrick Mahomes, he's thinking about that. And the only way, because he can't control what the defense does, but he can't control how many points the offense score. I mean, he can control the offense and how many points they score. So he's going to try to – I would imagine – that he's going to try to do everything in his power to put as many points on the board as he possibly can.
Yeah,
so that won't be an issue going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and for the Chiefs, I think they might be rooting for the Packers to have a rematch of Super Bowl I, only because Aaron Jones, great as he is, may not present the three-headed monster of the running game of San Francisco. Might be a little bit more for them to have to deal with in terms of the run defense, and that's what the matchup will be tomorrow. Sunday, pardon me, is can the Kansas City defense, keep Derrick Henry, kind of under wraps a little bit. If they can, it's going to be an interesting game. But I tend to think the Kansas City Chiefs at the moment are the – I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they're the favorites in my book to win it all, at least on the board. If I had to bet on them, if somebody, one of these four, to win the Super Bowl, I'd bet on them.
Yeah.
In the NFC, Kyle Shanahan against Matt LaFleur, a lot going to be made. We asked earlier in the program how many references to 28-3 are there going to be, or references to the 2016 Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl team, because Shanahan being the offensive coordinator and Matt LaFleur being the quarterbacks coach for the Falcons back then. Shanahan was asked this week about when did he know that this turnaround in San Francisco was real?
I mean, I think it was pretty early on. I think it's happened in a number of different times throughout the year. There's so many ebb and flows throughout a season. But yeah, I'd say it started out probably with the Rams game, just because the way the three went before, and then having to get over that hump, which we hadn't yet. But then it's always when you feel good, there's a number of times during the season you take a step back and then something's got to happen to go forward, and that's happened a bunch.
Are the San Francisco 49ers sort of like the Braves of last, not this past season, but the year before, where they're just a year ahead of themselves? Is that possible? Because they're a good team, but they went, I mean, Hugh, this turnaround has been epically fast.
Yeah, but they've been in a position to draft pretty good the last couple of years.
So have the Browns. They tell me about that.
Yeah. I think the quarterback was really the catalyst for it. You know, you talk about the year that he got there, he got hurt.
Right.
I think Richard Sherman, him having him back there, veteran presence, has helped that defense out tremendously.
Yeah, D Ford too.
Being a year ahead, I don't know if that's really the – like, every team in NFL is talented. You just have to find the person that knows how to dial into that talent and get the most out of it. And I think that's what they got with Coach Shanahan. So, you know, because, John, this ain't the first time that we've seen something like this happen in the NFL. This is not the first time that we've seen teams go from worst to first. You know, but this is probably one of the, like, one of the rare times that you see a team that is in the position that the San Francisco 49ers are in. Because, see, I look back on the years that I was in Philadelphia. I got there in 98, 99, got hurt. 2000, we were in the playoffs. Like, so, you know what I mean? And then that's when it began, that run that we had in Philadelphia. So that wasn't that long. It didn't take long to turn it around.
I guess, you know, to me, like, the Falcons won 4 games, they won 6 games, and then suddenly, you know, Dan Quinn shows up 2 years later in the Super Bowl. But that team already had the kind of the guts of a veteran team that had star players. This sounds more to me like it was kind of thrown together in an ensemble.
It feels
and it
like
worked.
It. But, like, George Kittle's been there for a while. You've, like I said, you've been drafting in the top tier. You've been getting the cream of the crop in the draft for a while. I think the catalyst is Jimmy Garoppolo,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that you have a message and a direction that everybody is bought into. That, see, to me, that is the biggest piece that's always missing in the NFL. That's why we sit here and we look at the Dallas Cowboys and we look at that Coach McCarthy and we say, oh, you know what? Haven't played it down. But with the talent that they've amassed there and what he's done in his past as far as having success as a coach, you look at that team and say, you know what? They're going to be pretty good. Just like, okay, like we're looking at Coach Vrabel right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's looked at differently now these last two playoff games than he was during the regular season.
No question.
I guarantee you
No
that.
Question.
I guarantee you that if I – the
he's
even the
Apple
staunchest
stock.
Yes. The staunchest Tennessee Titans fan, the diehard Tennessee Titans fan, looks at him totally different now than he did during the regular season.
All right, your chance to be looked at totally different if you win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
beard. B-E-A-R-D. What did Hugh trim the other day? Beard to 72881. You have till the top of the hour to text from your cell phone, beard, B-E-A-R-D to 72881. One more time. National signing bonus cover of the hour is beard. Text B-E-A-R-D, beard to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Don't text to drive. Complete rules at 92onthegame.com/rules. We didn't forget you, Packers fans. Don't worry. We'll be talking about you. We're going to pick the games next and get a couple thoughts about the Packers, too, that we'll say out loud. Of course, that's what we do. We talk on the radio. All right, that's ahead. Next, with John and Hugh, the Pick 6 on Sports Radio 92onthegame and 92onthegame.com. Sports Radio 92 on the game. John and Hugh, Kia Studios on this Friday. Well, a lot of chatter about the AFC and NFC Championship games. All right, we'll see what happens with these games, and we'll pick them in just a moment. But just to kind of like spread this out a little bit, because there's only 2 football games this weekend, we decided to pick some basketball games real quick, just to talk a little college basketball in our Pick 6. And the first game we're going to pick is Virginia-Georgia Tech. Now, here's the defending national champions going up against the Texters. We've seen Georgia Tech actually have some really nice moments this year for Josh Pastner. Almost win against Duke. Beating North Carolina. North Carolina State.
That's where we are with this, John. We got almost wins.
Yeah.
We got almost wins over here. They count.
You know, so any chance that Georgia Tech can knock off the defending national champion Virginia Cavaliers?
No. Very good chance.
So you're picking Georgia Tech?
I didn't say that. He asked if there was a chance.
I actually really like this Georgia Tech team.
Know that Alvarado is back and a little bit healthier.
Which helps. I mean, having Jose Alvarado back.
The Hawks are on. They're learning a little more about themselves.
Doesn't it rise and fall with Banks? I mean, if he plays well. Yeah.
But I think Alvarado can take over a game if Banks is struggling. I think it's nice to have that second option at least. But and this is more about Virginia, by the way, than it is about Georgia Tech. Virginia, as you mentioned, they may struggle to make the tournament. I mean, they're in a very similar boat to where Georgia Tech is right now.
But you can't lose. Everybody says this. I know Tony Bennett's a great coach. But when you lose DeAndre Hunter and you lose Guy and you lose everything off that team, I mean, it just decimates the team.
No question. While I do think Georgia Tech's got a real good shot to win this game, I don't think I'm going to go out on that limb. Neither is Orin. We are going to pick Virginia, but I would not at all be surprised.
Yeah, I'm going to go Virginia, too.
Yeah, because in the lay of the land here in the state of Georgia, the team that with the best chance right now, I think, to make the tournament might be Georgia State. Then I would say Georgia is next.
Has been like that for a while, though.
And I think Georgia and Tech are pretty similar discussions.
And then I think Georgia can make it as an at-large. Where Tech can't make it really as an at-large right now. I think the best hope Tech has is to get to 500 and make the NIT. I think they've got a shot at it. I don't see Tech making the NCAA tournament.
I don't know. Depends. I think they can be good.
Louisville and Duke is an interesting matchup because here's Duke U that just got beat the other night. They've lost twice this year, and both were kind of head-scratchers. One, of course, was to Stephen F. Austin at home. And Louisville, we don't know what to make of them. They two teams that were at one time number one that have had really bad losses at times this season, and we're trying to figure out who the best team in the nation is.
Can't figure that out yet.
And I don't know between these two. Who's going to win Louisville, Duke? Who's at home, Duke?
Duke.
All right, then I'm taking Duke, I guess. Right, yeah. I have no idea.
Orin and I are going Duke as well, so it's a clean sweep. This is an interesting game. I'd love to go back and see how often Coach K loses back-to-back games. Is there other loss at home as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
How many times have they lost back-to-back at home?
At Cameron Indoor?
Under K in the past 20 years.
This is over here, but have you guys ever been to Cameron Indoor?
I went a couple years ago for a buddy's bachelor party.
Isn't it the greatest? I hate Duke.
It's pretty cool.
I love Cameron Indoor. It's pretty cool. It is really cool.
I need to get out a little bit more. I haven't seen it. Haven't been there.
It's my favorite basketball stadium in the country. And I hate Duke. So, there you go. Puke, Duke, whatever they're called. BYU's taking on Gonzaga. Now, nobody cares about this game. I get that, unless you're a BYU or Gonzaga fan, or you're Andy Bunker, who hates Gonzaga with a passion.
With the fire.
Or if you're Deshaun Tain, and will definitely stay up to whatever time this game starts to watch it.
But what's interesting is, how good is Gonzaga? They're the number one team in the nation. We've had them flirt and flirt and flirt and flirt for 20 years. They've been flirting with winning a national title. Now, is this finally the year? So I want to expand this question out. They got Kelly Antilie. They've got really good players. Petrusov is an All-American. Is this the year that Mark Few and Gonzaga actually come to Atlanta and win a national title?
Can I tell you in April?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Can I tell you in April what the answer is?
With the current state, I know you like to be on top of things and be out there, but damn, with the current state of college basketball right now and nobody really, like, solidify that number one spot for keeping it for a long time. That's a whole lot.
I mean,
to take
if I'm
in.
Taking Gonzaga or the field, I'm taking the field.
Gotta take the field. I mean,
well, yeah, of course you are.
Well, that's what you asked.
But that's true of any team.
Yeah, that's what you asked.
You know, I mean, you might be able to convince me this year. You can have the four number one seeds or the other 64. I'm taking the other 64.
Yeah, because you know, there's no telling who's gonna be representing.
No idea. At this point. I really have no idea. To your point, John, we have no idea what Gonzaga is, but BYU is one of the two teams on their schedule that stand out as could be a challenge. Now, this game is at Gonzaga.
Why do people say that? I don't understand why people say that. I look like at BYU. What, they're the fifth best team in their conference and they're a threat?
I think they have the top feeling.
All right, Santa Clara beat them pretty good. I mean,
Not every team's going to play consistently every game, but I think they have the talent. They're closer to the talent level.
I mean, look at
now, St. Mary's obviously does.
And St. Mary's actually struggled a little bit lately. But you got in the West Coast Conference, because they got 19-1.
No, don't even. None of them are good. None of them.
Pacific, BYU, Santa Clara, St. Mary's, San Francisco.
Keep going. None of them.
They're all.
None of them are good.
15-4.
Who cares? None of them are good.
Okay.
Well, are you picking? Who are you picking? Gonzaga?
Well, of course. Who's going to pick BYU? Are you?
Hugh didn't say not BYU yet.
No, Gonzaga.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I mean, I haven't watched that much college basketball, but I'm not that big when it comes to that. No, I ain't about to do
Maybe
that.
At 9 we could talk to Sean Tate into picking BYU.
All right.
He's been trying to.
And another thing over here, and then we'll get into the two football games. Conor McGregor has decided he's actually going to do his old job against Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And everybody, if you notice this year this week, everybody's making a big deal about Cowboy Cerrone's physique. It's like that's the
he's
big
He's trimmed
talk.
Down, right?
Yeah.
He's trimmed down a little bit.
No, he's actually not really.
But
he hasn't trimmed down?
Do you have a body like Donald Cowboy Cerrone?
Cerrone.
Whatever.
This is an Abe special, by the way. This is an Abe special.
You called him Gonzaga. I got that wrong.
Okay. So. I don't know.
Okay, so tell me, what's the difference then?
So, well, they're both 155ers, right? They both normally fight at 155. This fight's at 170.
So he's
so
bigger.
Neither guy is well. It's not that they're bigger, but they're not really cutting weight. So both guys are probably close to their natural fight weight.
Gotcha,
they're not
gotcha.
Depriving themselves of water and dehydration to the extreme to get, you know, all that water weight off. So, you know, he's 35, 36 years old, is Cowboy. A lot of fights, Hugh. He's got records in UFC for, I think, most victories, most submissions. He's towards the top in knockouts.
Yeah, what they call the chin to the face, the shin, the bump. When he kicked people in the face, that's like
head
his
kick.
Thing. Yeah. He put some people to sleep with that one.
He can do some damage with a head kick.
Okay.
Do you guys know anything about either of these fighters?
In terms of actual fighting.
No,
I know that the Cowboy. Well, you know, obviously Conor McGregor's last fight was what, Floyd Mayweather.
No, he had a couple fights. He had the bus fight.
Yeah. Oh, you fought the bus.
He got mauled by Khabib. It was four rounds. He lasted, I think, it was four, but he got out wrestled pretty badly.
Okay.
I mean, everyone who
but
faces
he hasn't fought in a while.
Khabib,
he hasn't fought in a while.
Gets out wrestled pretty badly. It's correct. This is his return fight.
Okay.
He punched the old guy in the bar. Does that count as a fight?
Yeah, he did punch the old guy in the bar.
He took a chair to a bus.
Yeah. That was before the Khabib fight.
I tell you what, though, listening to, haven't seen a whole lot of his fights, but listening to Conor McGregor now, as opposed to him a couple of months ago, a couple of years ago, he sounds a little bit more subdued. He sounds a little bit more calm. Like, you know, he hasn't been drinking for this fight, Orin just told me. And the fact that, you know, butt whoopers tend to do that for you. Like, back-to-back
number one. That's his drink, right? That's
back,
his new whiskey.
Back-to-back butt whoopers tend to humble you a little bit. So, you know, going into this fight against Cowboy, he's probably realizing how mortal he potentially is.
The question McGregor has to answer is that, does he really want it as much as he did when he had nothing, when he had to fight for it? Being a champ, getting $100 million, that, all that, you may not have that drive to be the best in the world. That's what he's got to answer. Still think he's a much better fighter than Cowboy, but anything can happen.
I'll take McGregor. Right?
We're all going Cowboy. Boy, we're all the same, all four okay. so far.
All right, so Titans,
no,
Chiefs.
Cowboy.
Let's get
I'm
to
going
it.
Cowboy.
You're going okay. Cowboy?
He's going Cowboy.
All right.
I'm going outlier.
I don't know what going Cowboy means, but I'll let that go. Titans, Chiefs.
I'd leave it alone. That's Commando, really.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking Commando.
Titans, Chiefs, Hugh. Titans, Chiefs. Let's get into the big one.
Titans, Chiefs. I'm going Chiefs.
I just don't. Derrick Henry, a big fan. He won me a fantasy Super Bowl this year. I just don't think he's got enough. There's too much on Kansas City. Way too much offense. Kansas City's going to win.
What is Orin saying?
Same.
I think we'll make it a clean sweep. As much as I would love to see Tennessee continue this incredible run of theirs, in 12-degree wind chill in Kansas City against the hot hand of Mahomes. Look, hey, God love you, Tennessee. Godspeed. And if you pull this off, it'll be maybe the – if you win the Super Bowl, maybe the greatest postseason run of all time.
Oh, no question about
Packers,
that.
Packers, 49ers.
We are both going 49ers, home team.
You?
I'm going to go Packers.
Yes. I am, too.
This can go either way. It's a good game.
I'm going to take the Packers. I think the Super Bowl rematch is going to happen. And I think Packers, 49ers is a coin flip game. But we'll see. That's why they buy the games. Sweet Tea brings the tea. Those stories that we missed, she'll jump into the program here and give us some of the fun stuff, little music stuff and whatnot on a Friday. Change it up a little bit. Tanedra's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Miss out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Tanedra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
First, we get all wrapped up in all these big stories, and Lord knows there have been big stories this week with JD and the Hawks making a trade and the Falcons uniforms and this and that and the other thing. So we missed stuff. All right, so that's why we have Tanedra here. What did we miss this week?
You mean Jermaine Dupri's back in the news?
Oh, get out.
You said JD. Well, Usher is coming out with a new album soon.
That other one that the JD will no longer mention.
Exactly. When we're talking JD from now on, it's Jermaine Dupri. But yeah, Usher's new album is being produced by JD, so it should be cool because Confessions was amazing.
It's been a long time.
So, yeah, I heard a snippet of it a couple days ago on a post from Usher. Good stuff. Anywho, this was funny to me because producer Abe and I are always looking for goofy stories out of Florida, but we actually found this one straight out of, like, the Iowa-Kansas space. So, after discovering that Trial by Combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in the U.S., 40-year-old David Ostrom of Kansas has requested an Iowa court allow him to settle his property and custody battle with his 38-year-old ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, with a dual after claiming she's already destroyed him legally. He says he's even willing to allow his ex-wife attorney to stand in as her champion and fight for her.
You mean like 20 paces? Like,
so, yeah.
Turn around and draw?
Yeah.
I was thinking more like with swords.
It's a sword fight.
Yeah, not the sword. Because you know with them swords, he's trying to kill something.
Yes, because he said on the field of battle, he will rend their souls from their. Okay, I forgot to look this word up, John. Corporeal bodies. I was like, is it corporeal? But I think it's corporeal. But I'm going with corporeal.
Corporeal.
That's what we're going with. I'll kill somebody.
Yeah. I'm going to kill somebody.
He wants to rend their souls from their bodies. So he asked the Iowa District Court to give him 12 weeks lead time in order to source or forge katana and wakizashi swords. Ostrom, who said he doesn't have any experience with swords fighting, of course, doesn't anticipate the judge is going to grant his request. But he thought he'd asked anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. He'd have been better off asking to box her attorney.
Or her. He started off asking for her, but he said the attorney could be the stand-in.
Yeah, that's not a good look for you to fight your ex-wife. That's not a good look. With a sword fight? Yeah, that's not a good look. It's not a good look at all.
What did the judge say to all this ridiculousness?
It's still up
did
for
he say,
review.
Yeah,
It just happened.
I would probably,
she probably called him stupid.
You want to go have a sword fight, just recuse yourself and never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's really where you go with this.
Stupid.
So I heard you guys talking about this a little bit earlier today and wanted to weigh in on it from the perspective of Pro Football Talk. The folks over at PFT think the Falcons should offer refunds to fans who recently bought soon-to-be obsolete jerseys. From their perspective, a planned uniform redesign happens with months, if not years, of advance notice.
Two years advance notice.
Now, of course, the Falcons announced on Tuesday that the uniforms will be unveiled in April, but their letter to season ticket holders makes it clear that the new uniforms have been in the works.
I disagree. And here's why I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think about, like, let's go back to the blue and white small A Atlanta Braves uniforms. Mm-hmm. You remember those? Or you go back to the classic, my favorite Braves uniform, when they came over from Milwaukee, the black and red with the stripes.
Yes, you told me about a couple days ago.
Those are old school now. You just have old school. You have great classic old school gear.
It just may feel like a true throwback.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
I just found out from our guy Orin the Sigma that a lot of people on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line feel the same way. They want the refund.
I've got two jerseys from the Falcons. Yeah. They're both black. If they don't have a black jersey anymore, I'm not worried about it.
Listen, I don't usually like to categorize people in this way because it's not for everybody. It has their own opinion about stuff, but that's just stupid. Because that's the whole part of having like jerseys and things of that nature because they're throwbacks.
Yes.
They're things of nostalgia. Things always change in the NFL. Players always change.
Yes.
Your favorite player changes. If you've been following this Atlanta Falcons team for as long as you say you've been following them, say 10 years, your favorite player has probably changed.
Yes.
By the way, nobody's going to get mad at you if you wear an old school uniform at a Falcons game.
Or old school jersey.
Because it's been 17 years, so I don't know. I would kind of look at it like, oh, that's mad cool. You're not a fair weather fan of that team.
You've had
this jersey for a minute.
I've seen Keith Brooking jerseys
at
the games. I've seen a ton of Michael Vick jerseys.
Yes. I still see Tuggle jerseys game. And Deion jerseys.
You do Jesse Tuggle. Still see Deion Sanders. Jesse Tuggle jerseys, absolutely. So it's kind of cool.
Mike Vick.
You see Michael Vick.
You know what? The people to me that say that ignorance, that they want their money back for their jersey, are the ones that aren't real fans.
Are they the same fans who are saying that if you cut Matt Bryant, that you should get a refund on a Matt Bryant jersey?
How far and how deep are we going to cut with this?
Right.
Yeah.
That's ignorant.
I don't know. When I see it, and it's kind of a neat thing when you are over at the Benz and you kind of have to walk that, you know, spiral to get from, you know, one side of the street to the other. I actually always look at the other fans to kind of see what jerseys they're, you know, they have. I'm just curious always, right?
You're talking about
and
the visitors.
You see, yeah, always a ton of visitors will have on their throwback jerseys in a heartbeat.
I'm always curious because
in my mind, I'm going, oh, yeah, I remember when he played for the Jaguars. I remember when he played for the Titans or just whomever.
I was laughing because I was on the train before the Bills game 2 years ago, three years ago, and I was stuck on a train with all these Bills fans. And I said, oh, my God, it's like, you know, because it was Jim Kelly and Cornelius Bennett and Thurman Thomas. I said, oh, the team is here.
Right. It kind of reminds you. Yeah, and some fans feel like that. Like, that reminds them of the glory days for, you know, their fan base, if you will.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so, guys, don't be.
Don't be ridiculous. That,
don't be ridiculous. Don't do that. Yeah, be the guy who's in the cool throwback uni and have a conversation about it from when, you know, that guy was that dude back in the day for the Falcons. So one more story I wanted to run by you guys because I thought it was cool and I'm excited about the inductees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes, Whitney Houston. Yes, Nine Inch Nails. But yes, the Notorious B.I.G. They're among the latest inductees into the gradually broadening tent that is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. According to their announcement on Wednesday, they are broadening their tent because they've gotten some pushback over the years about not inducting enough women.
Right,
about, yeah, and exactly the definition of rock and roll, especially as rock and roll has evolved. From when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was. Yeah, so.
They need to figure out how to change the name. But anyway, who else got inducted?
So we've got, of course, all of the honorees will be recognized on May 2nd. You also have Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers.
Depeche
Mode, I just got depressed. Go ahead.
It's Depeche Mode.
But to your point, the Doobie Brothers. That's the broad intent, right?
Is that pre-Michael McDonald or when you can't understand?
Are the Doobie Brothers considered funk? Are they considered
funk?
Well, now, John and I were having a whole conversation about funk this morning, so.
Doobies were better before Michael McDonald. Nuh-uh.
Better before? Or
yes. The Blackwater Doobie Brothers were better than the.
Michael McDonald was nice.
Wow. Oh, God.
We got a duel.
Yeah, because we have producer on host crime regarding.
Are the Doobie Brothers considered like a funk band? Like,
Sean and I were having that conversation about funk bands earlier.
I mean, you think China Grove, you think Blackwater, you think, you know. Jesus is Just All Right With Me. Some of their hits.
Earlier might have given them a little.
China Grove is a rock song.
Yeah, might have given a little bit.
China Grove's a rock song.
I mean, but see, I think what you're talking about is funk. When I think of funk, I think of Parliament. I think of funk.
I think of Rufus, Cameo, that kind of stuff. That's what I think of funk.
I don't even think of Cameo as funk.
You don't?
I do.
Not as funk. Not like Parliament Funkadelic.
What do you think of them as?
R&B?
No, really?
I don't really think of Cameo as funk.
Or anyway. Producer? Or I need to hear from you on this one. I need to tell the listeners.
He's still on Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, they're dueling for that. But anyway, Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, and you said I heard that. And T-Rex. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, you know, everybody remember T-Rex's big song?
I have no
Mega Gong, get it on, Mega Gong.
And they're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh my goodness.
Mega Gong.
I knew I should have asked Oren to get me some B.I.G. to take me out of here just so I could stay in my happy place, John.
That's ridiculous.
Depeche Mode.
Join Hugh Douglas in 92.9 Game. That would be me. And stake him this Sunday at Walmart located off of Howell Mill Road in Atlanta from 2 to 4 p.m. Atlanta football player Alex Mack signing autographs to celebrity chef Kevin Rathbun. We'll be cooking up your favorite Steak'em Philly cheesesteaks, plus raising money for local food banks as part of the Taste of the NFL's Kick Hunger Challenge. Yeah,
by the
Michael
way,
McDonald's a beast.
Kevin Rathbun is going to be on live in about 20 minutes.
I hope you didn't hear me butcher his name this morning. Kevin, if you're listening, I apologize. Rathbun.
See what happens when you have the control of the wheels, like Oren does? He gets to play what he wants to play, but I better hear some B.I.G. before this morning ends, Oren. That's all I'm saying,
All right. Little college basketball with our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate. Who is the real best team in America? Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Tate's Take.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.